As the doping scandals involving Essendon and Cronulla continue to drag on, Parliament is considering laws that would create a stricter anti-doping regime in this country. This morning, a Senate inquiry will review proposed amendments to the powers of the Australian Sports Anti-Doping Authority, ASADA. These powers will allow the body to work more closely with police, increase penalties for first-time offenders, and ban athletes from working with anyone previously involved in doping. Green Senator Richard Di Natale has been a long-time critic of the investigations carried out by ASADA and has questioned the need for extended powers. He's with us this morning in our Parliament House studio. Richard Di Natale, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good morning.
So before we get to the legislation to be considered today, the Essendon case heard by the Federal Court has alleged that the previous Labor government, the Sports Minister, Kate Lundy, pushed for an outcome in this case before the last federal election. Will you be pressing the head of ASADA, Ben McDevitt, on these claims today?
Well, I'll be pressing Ben McDevitt on a range of claims that really are issues outside of the scope of the amendments. And one of them is that relationship between the government of the day and ASADA. We previously had a situation where there was a clear separation. There was a board that ASADA was accountable. That changed fairly recently. And there's some questions about whether that change was a positive one. So that's certainly one issue. There are questions around resourcing. There are questions around, I think, the conflict that ASADA has as both being the policing body, but also the body that athletes need to go to get information about supplements. I think that's problematic and we should look at separating those functions, and then the relationship that ASADA has with the codes. For example, we've got a situation where if a show cause notice is found, it's the codes themselves that conduct the tribunal. And I think that, again, there's the potential for conflict there when it's the code deciding what the penalty should be for an athlete. And of course, they've got other considerations around protecting their brand and the reputation of the sport.
Are any of these reservations about the status quo that you have reflected in the amendments?
No, they're not. I think they're much broader questions, and I'm very keen to press some of those, press ahead with some of those issues. And I suspect, look, to be fair to the new head of ASADA, he's been very forthcoming, and I hope that he'd welcome questions that aren't specifically related to the amendments that we're debating today.
Okay, but nothing will come of it, of course, unless the government takes your counsel to make the changes.
Well, there are other options. There's always the option for an inquiry into the Act more broadly, and that's something I'm considering.
In the submission to this Senate inquiry, ASADA says the changes are necessary, these changes being proposed, increasing ASADA powers if it's to properly perform its functions, that is, stopping drug cheats. In fact, these bring the body into line with world anti-doping standards. So what are your objections?
Well, let me say there are some positive things in the changes. For example, at the moment, there's a register that publishes people who may have breached the code, but that hasn't been proven. So the idea that you publish an athlete's name who may have been involved in a breach of the code without actually confirming that guilt, I think, is problematic, and that's going to change, so that's a positive move. But there are a few things in there that I'm concerned about. One of them is this association with prohibited persons. So what will happen under this change? If you're nominated as a prohibited person, that's somebody who has been found guilty of a breach of the code. You can't really have any association with athletes. And I find that problematic for a few reasons. One is, for example, some of the players now involved in the Essendon and Cronulla scandals, if they're found guilty of a breach of the code, basically what we're saying to them is that you can't be involved in any further association with athletes in your chosen sport. Now, I think that's a problem when you look at many of the other people who appear to have been involved in this continue to be involved in the sport. And we're saying that in some cases, I believe it's the victims who are being punished. It also is a problem because a breach of the code can be something like somebody who's found guilty of an illicit drug offence. So if you've, for example, got a conviction for possession of cannabis, That is a breach of the code, and it means that you can't be associated with sport in any professional capacity. And again, I think that's problematic and goes too far.
Would that automatically come? A person, an official, rather than as distinct from a player, an official or an administrator smokes a joint on the weekend, he gets arrested or at least gets a charge, that he would automatically become a prohibited person?
Well, that appears to be how the bill is currently written, and I'm very keen to question the head of ASADA on how, in fact, that would operate, whether there's any discretion or not. But it doesn't appear to be the case in the way the bill's written.
Okay. What about the... We understand there's only one full-time inspector for ASADA in the state of Victoria at the moment. The state has a huge caseload with the investigations into the Essendon Bombers. Does ASADA really have the resources for these changes to be meaningfully enacted?
I don't believe so. I think that is one of the big problems at the moment. The bill does nothing to address that. And the question of the resourcing of ASADA, we've got unrealistic expectations about what they can achieve with the level of resources they have, and in fact, and also with the functions they're expected to perform. So I think the question of resourcing is something that has to be addressed. We can't be critical of the organisation on the one hand and not address the issue of capacity on the other, and that's something that I'll be talking to Ben McDevitt about.
But you want to increase their funding but not increase their powers.
Oh, look, there's nothing to suggest that that ASADA can't continue on with its role if it's not adequately funded. And I believe that at the heart of the problem with the way ASADA's conducted itself is more issues around resourcing and around clarifying those issues, the conflict between its role as a policing body and as an information body. We've got to do much better around information and education for athletes, and ASADA really can't do that if it's the policeman. So I think we have to separate out those functions and also address that issue of its relationship with government, because there will always be pressure from the government of the day, and I think it needs to be made more independent of government.
We're on RN Breakfast. We're speaking with Greens Senator Richard Di Natale. Senator, you're a former GP.
I am.
And the Greens health spokesperson. The government has ruled out doing more when it comes to helping with the Ebola outbreak in West Africa. That's in terms of sending doctors and allied health professionals over there. What's your reaction to this?
Oh, I just think that we've been missing in action on this issue. The Australian government has been prepared to engage in a military conflict. We're spending $500 million engaged in the war in Iraq per year, and yet we're not prepared to spend even loose change when it comes to the outbreak in Africa. And the notion that we can't send health professionals, doctors, nurses and so on, who are now already saying quite loudly that they want to go and be involved in the global effort to combat what the UN say is a bigger global threat than terrorism, I just think it's shameful. And what we need to do is recognise we've got a global responsibility here. We need to commit people rather than the pitiful amount that the government's already promised. And we've got to do, you know, basically be part of that global effort.
As a doctor, did you ever consider perhaps going?
Well, I have to say I don't practice anymore. I've been a senator now for a number of years. I spent some time working in India with HIV prevention, and I've done a lot of work in developing country settings. If I was a doctor, I probably would. I think this is, we've got to recognise the threat here, and the threat here is serious. I think the Minister's right when he suggests that Australia is well prepared. We have a health system that has the capacity to be able to deal with this. The great problem here is, though, that there are many countries around the world who simply don't have that capacity, and our job now is to contain this outbreak. The spread is exponential, and once it goes beyond a particular tipping point, it's going to be very, very difficult to contain, and the loss of life will be extraordinary. We've got a case fatality rate. That means the number of people, the chances of dying from this are over 50% if you contract or become infected with Ebola. And that is going to cause unprecedented death and morbidity. And we've got a responsibility to tackle it in the same way as the government showed some leadership when it came to intervening, for example, in the Ukraine, where the government, you know, left no stone unturned in terms of its ability and willingness to take on some very powerful interests. We need to show the same leadership and resolve here.
Thank you, Senator, for your time this morning.
Pleasure.
Green Senator Richard Di Natale, RN Breakfast. The time, it's 8:15.